Everybody take a deep breath right now, just fresh life. Everybody listening by the internet, take a deep breath of fresh life. There's fresh life flowing in this place today, amen? Amen, good stuff. Man, I am excited about what I'm going to share with you guys today. I believe this is going to be something that helps us, amen? I mean, when you're a minister and you're ministering to people, your heart's desire and your motivation should always be that, you know, I want people to walk away from this thing feeling helped. Amen. Feeling encouraged and not discouraged. Feeling alive. Amen. And not dead. And so I really believe truly with all my heart this word I'm going to share with you guys today is one of those types of words. It's just going to help us understand what the plan of God is for our life, not only as individuals, but as a church, as a whole. We've been placed and planted in this region, in this community, in this area. But this is going to be a word that enables us to understand that God is trying to take us someplace. Amen? Not only is he trying to take us someplace, but how many know he's causing us to be someplace? Amen? We're not just called to try to arrive to a destination, but how many know God is really in the church in this hour, in this time that we're living in? He is trying to cause the church to be a place. Amen? Be a destination. Amen? Be the place where when people come to you, they're going to say, oh, I found it. I found what I've been looking for, you know, because we are becoming, amen, like Christ in the earth. We are manifesting the Son. And I've said this before, but, you know, you may not know your particular assignment right now in the earth. In other words, you know, Brother Barry, I don't know what my calling is right now. I don't know where God's really taking me. Well, if you don't know your particular assignment, that's okay. But ultimately, look at your neighbor and say, ultimately, purpose and your assignment in the earth is to manifest the Son. Amen? If you ain't got all the details worked out on what exactly you're called to be or the direction that God has for your life as far as geographically or as far as your destiny is concerned, personally for you, know this, every one of us in here within the sound of my voice that's hearing this word right now, if you are a born-again saint of the Most High God, your ultimate purpose and destiny is to manifest the Lord Jesus from the heavenly realm into the earth realm. Amen. We are connecting. We are connectors. We are gateways, if you would, that manifest the Son. We say it all the time. I got Jesus living in me, Brother Bradley. I got born again, Sister Tanya. And what's that mean? Well, Jesus lives in my heart. And we say that kind of as a cliche, but we need to really step back and think about it. That is truly and actually what is taking place. Jesus said, behold, the kingdom is within you. Amen. That means the king is supposed to have his domain in you. He sits upon the throne of our heart. Amen. If somebody else is on the throne of our heart, most of the time it's us that sits on the throne of our heart. Guess what? We need to be dethroned. Amen. And allow Christ to take his place within us so we can begin to operate in the kingdom. You know, I'm going to talk about some practical things today, but say this, it's practical, but it's powerful. Amen? I want to talk about moving from efficient to effectual. Like I said, this may seem like some practical things, but I'm telling you, they're powerful things if we will embrace them. The word efficient means this. It means empirical. It means feasible, functional, operative, orderly. I like this one. It means possible. Efficient things, being efficient in things means you're doing those things that are possible. It's not something impossible for you to do, but you can walk in efficiency by doing those things that are very possible and you're very capable of doing and operating in. Amen. It means sensible. It doesn't have to be things that's necessarily, you know, crazy, far-fetched things that God is wanting you to do, but they're very sensible things. Amen. The word efficient also means serviceable. Amen. There's a service that we are to render for God Almighty. And it also means practical. Amen. So becoming efficient in our life is actually just very, you know, mastering the practical things. Amen. The word effectual, when you look it up in the dictionary, it means capable, compelling. I like that. Convincing. To be effectual means to be dynamic. Good one. Influential. Mighty. I love this one. Paramount. just sounds regal to me. Paramount. It also means prevailing. How many know God's called us to be people who prevail? Amen. In our lives. It also means powerful. Amen. So we are moving from a place of efficiency into becoming effectual for God, and that's His plan and purpose for you and I. What are you saying? I'm saying He wants us to master the practical things. Once we learn how to master the practical things in our life, then we can become powerful in the kingdom. Amen. We can become effectual for Him. Colossians 3:16, this is kind of my text that I'm drawing my thoughts from and everything, says this. Colossians 3:16 and 17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Amen. We just got through doing that in worship. Amen. We were singing spiritual songs and hymns according to the grace given to us in our hearts by the Lord. Amen. In other words, He was enabling us. You know, grace is just not God's unmerited favor or love for us, but it's God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Grace, that's an acronym. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. I like this. God's righteousness and corresponding enablement. It's also what grace means. In other words, the grace of God is an enabler. It's what gives us power. God's righteousness and corresponding enablement. Grace. I love that acronym for that to help me remember what grace is. Because we always say, you know, I'm saved by grace. And we just say, you know, well, what that means is God just had mercy on us. And His favor was upon us, and He saved us by His grace. But you see, grace carries more weight than that. It's God's righteousness and corresponding enablement. Amen. How many know it's taken some grace for Lady J and I to drive an hour from Lexington to come to this place for almost 2 years now? Not trying to put ourselves up on a pedestal, but I'm telling you, you know, when God calls you to do something, He gives you grace to do it. He enables you to do it. Amen. So whatsoever we're doing, we're admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts. God enables us to sing the song of the Lord. Verse 17 says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Listen to it in the Amplified. "Let the words spoken by Christ, the Messiah, have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness. As you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight, intelligence, and wisdom in spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with His grace in your heart." Somebody say, "His grace." "In whatever you do, no matter what it is," I love this, "in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon His person, giving praise to God the Father through Him." When we learn how to embrace the methods of efficiency, it opens up the pathways to us becoming effectual for Him. Whatever I do, Brother Bradley, Sister Garrett, whatever I do, I got to do it with total dependence upon the Lord. Amen. In all things, no matter what it is. I love the way the Amplified reads. No matter what it is, everything I do in the name of the Lord Jesus and dependence upon His person, giving praise to God the Father through Him. Somebody say, that's very practical in application. You know, but it's powerful when we master it. Amen. What's some practical things that we should master? You know, whatever, no matter what it is. Well, you know, sometimes I get up in the morning and I got to go at Volvo Penta where I work at and everything. How many know sometimes I get up in the morning and I lay there in the bed and I roll out of bed, Brother David, and I say, "Lord, you're going to have to help me today." I got to have some empowerment today. And I have to make a decision at that moment to get on up out of bed, because I'm wanting to sit there and I want to stay in bed. Because it's like I'm not looking forward to the day. Can anybody relate? But when I go ahead and make the decision to go ahead and get myself up, you know, I am beginning to understand that just these simple things and being faithful to the job that God has me at is part of my life becoming efficient in the kingdom. Amen. Because how many know my job is not my provider? Amen. Now, they would probably argue with me on that fact, but how many know God is our provider? Amen. And this job is just part of the means that He's given me to make finances and to be able to pay our bills and those sort of things. You know, that's just what he's given me to do. And I have to become faithful and understand that, you know what, I am doing this no matter what it is as unto the Lord, depending upon him. Amen. And it's a very practical thing, but I'm telling you, once we master it, we'll become powerful. And anybody that knows anything about me, I've had a bunch of jobs in my lifetime. Lady J's been counting. 18 or so that she knows of. You know, every once in a while I'll come out with one. She's like, I ain't never heard of that one. That's number 19 or whatever, you know. But I would like to say this on defense of my behalf, though. And at least I've had a job, okay? You know, I've always been able to, you know, find work and that sort of thing. But the reason I had so many jobs was, you know, I was looking. I knew the call of God on my life. I knew where God was taking me. And, you know, and I knew that I wasn't going to be, you know, called to work in a factory all the days of my life. But I was called into full-time ministry. Amen. I knew that. So every time I took a job, I would always have that in the back of my mind that, you know, I'm not called to do this. So it caused me to be slack in my job. Amen? And God, man, I'm going to tell you, your job is the greatest training ground that you could ever go through. Because back when I first started serving the Lord, I had a little bit of a temper. Can anybody relate? And I would be at work, you know, and here I am. I'm trying to witness to my brother that works next to me about Jesus and everything. And he does something, makes me mad. And, I mean, I remember one incident, this guy did something. I worked in an upholstery factory. And I can't remember if we used to have staples, you know, and they were in long streams like that, or I can't even think what they're called, sleeves. And they fit into your gun. And we would keep, on our workbench, we would keep, you know, a full box of staples there because we're at an upholstery factory, so we use a lot of staples. You know, and you'd put them in there, and to have a long sleeve, you know, it saved time. You stick that thing in there. Well, I went to break, and I come back, and I didn't know it. My neighbor, playing a practical joke, he comes up, and he busts up all my staples in my box. So they're like little bitty pieces, you know. And I'm working away, and, man, just sweat is rolling. Sounds like a war going on there with all those air guns, you know. And I could reach down there to get some staples, and it's just a handful of crumbled up staples. Oh, it made me so stinking mad because I started getting behind because I got to get some more staples and all. And he's laughing, and I walked over to his table, his workbench, and I grabbed that thing, and phew, I flipped it over like that. I mean, stuff went flying everywhere, Lady J, because I was mad. Bless God, and Jesus turned over some tables, so I felt justified. And I mean, as soon as I did, man, the guy, he just looked at me, you know, like, oh, my God, because I was mad. And all of a sudden, that scripture that I didn't really know a lot about at that time, but it was already being applied to my life, where the word says, if a man be in Christ, he cannot sin. And all of a sudden, when I did that, well, I was heart pumping, I was raging mad, but as soon as I did it and I saw his look on his face, immediately in my heart, it was like, I've sinned. I can't be in this. If a man's in Christ, come on, somebody. If a man's in Christ, he can't. Doesn't mean he won't never make a mistake and, you know, get tempted or fall into an issue or miss the mark or anything. But when you do, it's going to be something that rises up in you called the Holy Ghost, who's the governor of our heart, will begin to tell you, you can't be in that place anymore. You cannot function and operate in this place anymore. And immediately, you know, I was like, I felt dirty. I felt disconnected from God. And I had to, after a little while, go back and apologize to the guy. But how many know that all this time, this guy don't go to church. He knows I do because I got a big mouth. And, you know, and I'm God's man of faith and power at Benchcraft there in Mississippi, you know. And I had to go back and eat crow. I had to do that a lot. But guess where I learned how to become efficient and still walk in Christ? In my job. Amen. But at the same time, some of the other things that I had to learn was about being faithful and trusting the Lord and waiting for God to open doors and not create Ishmaels, but wait on Isaac. Amen. So I didn't work at places very long. I might work there a year, 2 years, and I'd go somewhere else. Or I'd work there 6 months, and I'd feel the zeal of God on me, Brother Bradley. I'm like, I know next week I'm going in full-time ministry. It's going to happen. And I would quit my job pursuing some kind of ministry or whatever, and it fall through. And I'd have to find a job. I mean, if you don't work, you don't eat. Your bills don't get paid. Come on, somebody. Somebody say practical. Efficient thing. Well, I would like to say right now, after all those jobs that I've had, I've worked at Volvo Penta. I'm going on my 13th year working at that place. Amen. And that is a testament. You might not believe it, but that's a testament. That's something for Barry Bishop to say that he's done, because I ain't never worked at no place that long in my entire life. Amen. But I finally, and this is when I came to Lexington. This is when I got involved with Good News and Pastor Daryl Barber. I finally came to a place where I said, God, no matter what it takes, I want the best plan you have for my life. Amen. How many know if we want to walk in the best things of God? He's going to cause us and call us to walk in practical, efficient things. If you're faithful in the few things, then he can make you ruler over the many things. And if we want to become the leaders of the great things, amen, if we want to preach to the nations, amen, if we want to preach to the big crowds, if we want to minister, you know, if we want the best job, how many know it's going to take us being efficient, amen, in little things until we become effectual or powerful in the big things, amen? So whatever we do it. We got to embrace. Embracing the methods of efficiency opens the pathways to becoming effectual. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says this. This is Paul talking. He said, for a great door of effectual is open unto me. A great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. The Amplified says this, for a wide door of opportunity for effectual service has opened to me. They're a great and promising one. Every one of us in this room, I'm going to tell you, there is a great door of opportunity. Amen. For you. For service for you. Opportunity for greatness. Access into the next dimension, the greater dimensions of God. It is there. But with that opening of the door, that opportunity for effectual service opening to you, the promise opening, there are many adversaries. Amen. Listen to this. With greater effectual doors comes greater dimensions. Amen. And we want to walk into the greater dimensions. Every one of us do. Greater dimensions, though, bring greater adversity. But listen to this. I preached this not too long ago. You guys might remember. But adversity is the key to enlargement. Amen. When we go through adverse situations, when we go through, we don't get killed in the midst of the adversity, but we keep our bootstraps tied tight and our pants pulled up. Amen. And we go and walk through this thing and we come out the other side. When we come out the other side of that adverse situation, guess what? We have just become enlarged. Enlarged in what? Enlarged in our faith, enlarged in our anointing, enlarged into another dimension that God is carrying us to, because adversity is always the key to our enlargement. The psalmist said it like this, in my stress, in the midst of distress, thou hast enlarged me. Amen. Now, another proverb says this. It says, if we give up or quit in the midst of adversity, then our strength is weakened. Hear that. If you're going through an adverse situation, a test, a trial, okay, and you give up before that thing is over, if you just throw up your hands and quit, all that does is weaken your strength. So the implication is, if I go on through adversity, come on somebody, and I make it through the other side, then my strength is going to be increased in that thing. How many want your strength increased? Amen. Be efficient. Amen. Embrace the efficiency that God is trying to get you to walk in. Why? So you can become powerful. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6 says this in the King James, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Efficient communication, hear this, efficient communication produces effectual power. The operation of effectual power will help you unveil or discover, or what we just read in Philemon, acknowledge every good thing which is in you. Amen. Let me say it again. The operation of effectual power will help you unveil or discover or acknowledge every good thing that's in you. We must manifest what's already in us. Okay? Every good thing and who we are in the kingdom. We got to manifest that in the kingdom. How many, look at your neighbor and say, it's a process. Process. Look at your other neighbor and say, go through the process. Embrace the process. Amen. We got to manifest what is already in us, every good thing, amen, and who we are in the kingdom. The word manifest, I love this. It originates from two words. One word is this, it's manifestus, okay, which means detected in the act or evident or visible. The other word that it originates from is a Latin word. It's pronounced manus, M-A-N-U-S, and it means this. It means mitt, paw, or hand. Manifest. So, when you manifest something, you reach your hand, in a sense, into the invisible realm, pull out the things that you desire, and bring them into existence. Amen? Every one of us are creatures who manifest something. Okay? We will manifest to the degree of revelation we have of the kingdom of God. Amen? In other words, you'll manifest or pull out those things according to the revelation you have about God. If you think God is somebody who's ready to bop you on top of the head every time you mess up, guess what? That's all the type of manifestation you're going to have in your life. But if you understand that your Father has the best in mind for you and the best plan, amen, the best existence of life in store for you, He gave His only begotten Son, that you could flow in an abundance of life. Amen. If you understand that that's what kind of Father you have, then guess what? The revelation of the kingdom of God will cause you to manifest life instead of death. Amen. Success instead of failure. Amen. Health instead of disease. Come on. Why? Because you know who your daddy is. I wish you'd look at your neighbor and say, who's your daddy? So to manifest. Amen? Something, you reach your hand, in a sense, into the invisible realm, pull out the things that you desire and bring them into existence. To manifest something is to take something that's not seen, that's invisible, and bring it forth and show that it is at hand. Amen? Manifest who you are. Mark 1, 14 and 15 says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God, guess what, is at hand. In other words, I'm manifesting the kingdom to you right now. Amen. The words that I'm preaching right now at LifeWind Covenant Church, amen, and to the nations that's listening on the internet, I am manifesting the kingdom of God to you right now. Amen. We got to make known in the earth who Christ is and who Christ in us is. Amen. Every gift and talent and ability that we have, we got to manifest that. Amen, to the world. Matthew 16, 19 and 20 says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he the disciples, his disciples, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. The Darby translation, let me read that to you. Matthew 16, 20, at verse 20 there. It says, then he enjoined on his disciples that they should say to no man that he was the Christ. The word charge here, to charge means this, to enjoin or attach to. The word carries an understanding of standing on the authority of, amen, and uphold the force of a thing. In other words, when he was charging them, when Jesus charged his disciples, it was more than just them keeping quiet about his identity. Don't tell nobody who I am. Amen, because that's the way we always understand that. But that word carries more weight. He was instructing them of the power or authority of what he had just spoken to them about, giving them the keys of the kingdom, amen, and the responsibility of operating in that kind of authority. In other words, I charge you. Listen to what I'm telling you about the keys that's been given to you, amen. We always look at it, he's just telling me, be quiet, but he was charging them. In other words, he was enjoining on them. He was attaching something to them. Amen. I love that. I love that about the kingdom. Matthew 16, 19 says this, as they amplified, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind or declare to be improper or unlawful on earth must be, look at your neighbor and say, must be, what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose or declare lawful on earth, somebody say, must be, what is already loosed in heaven. Amen. These words, binding and loosing, they are legal terms used in law when you do a word study on these, okay? These are legal terms used in law. To bind and loose is not just what we can do to the enemy. Amen. Example is what we always use, you know, when we use that scripture. I'm gonna bind the devil and loose the Holy Ghost. You know? And that's okay, and that's part of it. We need to have an understanding, though, that it's more than just tying up the enemy when we bind something. That's not what, this is a legal term that God has given us. These words give us authority to declare whatever is binding or legal in the heavenly is binding or legal in the earthly. Amen. Whatsoever the keys to the kingdom. How many know keys unlock things for us? How many want to unlock the heavenly realm? Amen. To be loosed into the earthly realm. Amen. Legal words. So whatever is bound or legally binding in heaven. Amen. We have the keys and the authority to loose that into the earth. Woo! Oh, I love that. I love that. The Message Bible says this in Matthew 16:19. It says, that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth. Earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. Hear that. It's a legal term. Binding and loosing. Philemon 1 and 6, the B part of that verse says this. Faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of. Amen. Your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of what? Every good thing that's in you. This word acknowledge. Listen to this. It means to admit to be real or true. To recognize the existence, truth, or fact of. To indicate or make known the receipt of. In law, it means this, the word acknowledge. It means to confirm as binding or of legal force. I like that. To accept or certify as legally binding. Amen. We got to acknowledge every good gift that's inside of us according to Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying this. I got to learn how to acknowledge that every good thing that's in me, I have a legal right to operate in it. I have a legal right from heaven and the Father to flow in it. I have a legal right, amen, to walk in the authority of that thing. Amen. Why? Because it's been certified legal unto me. Whatever is bound in heaven is bound in the earth. Amen. Whatever is legally binding in heaven is legally bound in the earth. Amen. I love that. We got to understand that inherent in all of us is the initiative, the ingenuity, the talent, and imagination along with all the aptitude. Don't ever think of yourself, I can't do that. Why? I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. Amen. You have the aptitude to whatever talent's inside of you, amen, whatever kind of initiative is in you, whatever imagination is in you, whatever ingenuity is in you, along with the aptitude that we will ever need to produce abundant life. We have everything we'll ever need to produce abundant life. It's in us. We got to acknowledge those things. How do we do it? By faith. That sounds too easy. Practical. But powerful. Efficient. Amen. That'll cause you to become effectual. These keys open any and every door. Amen. What keys? These keys of the kingdom. Understanding these things, this authority, this legal authority that we have. These keys to open any and every door belong to us and have been legally transferred to every born again believer. No more barriers between heaven and earth. Hear this. Walking in efficiency transforms us into becoming effectual. Out of the Amplified, Philemon 1:6 says, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith, somebody say practical, efficient, amen, in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Participation, amen, in sharing of your faith. Participation produces promotion in your life. Amen. When you operate in faith, guess what? When you participate in faith, it produces promotion. And promotion brings recognition and appreciation. Amen. How many want to be recognized for some things? Amen. I want to be recognized as a man of God. I want to be recognized. You want to be recognized as a woman of God or somebody who follows Jesus. You want that recognition. Amen. Well, when we begin to participate in our faith, amen, it brings a promotion to us that causes us to be recognized and appreciated. Amen. But it's a process. Promotion carries the weight of understanding and precise knowledge that gives us that precise understanding and precise knowledge. It gives us identification with Christ. As I participate in my faith and trusting the Lord, guess what's released into me? Revelation. Amen. Illumination comes to me. And man, along with that illumination or that precise knowledge or that revelation comes an identification with Christ. Man, when they talk to me, it's like I'm talking to Jesus himself. Amen. Why? Because they are identifying the words that's coming out of you and the lifestyle that's coming out of you. They are identifying these efficient, practical things that's flowing out of you to become powerful in life. And they reckon that to be just like Jesus in the earth. Amen. How many want to walk in that? I do. Oh, that's our goal. Amen. That's what we say we want to be. So our identification, we become identified with Christ and his glory. In other words, the operation of faith carries us into greater dimensions of Christ. Let that soak in. The operation of our faith, it carries us into the greater dimensions of Christ. As we work together with Christ by faith, we are promoted into our heavenly position with him. Just believe in Jesus. Just trust in God. Amen? Just trust in God. Just trust in God. I got to share with somebody yesterday at Chuck E. Cheese's. Man, I began to testify to them about some things that God has been doing in our life and everything, and just sharing some things with them. And I was sharing about the house. They was asking me about the church and the house and all that, you know. And I told Lady J this. I don't know if I've told any of you guys this. I may have. A month or so before we went to the Acquire the Fire Youth Convention, I was praying, because, I mean, the real estate folks wouldn't show in our house. We wouldn't hear nothing from this house we made a bid on. You know, things seems like it's just all hell breaking loose. Every adversity that I could think of, that's where that message, adversity is the key of enlargement, came from. Because I'm walking through that stuff, and Lady J and I are walking through that stuff personally, okay? Amen, and you got things going on that just seemed like, man, all hell is breaking loose. There's every adverse situation on every corner facing us. And during that time, I was praying. I said, God, you know, ain't nothing happening. You know, we're supposed to be in Selmer. What's going on? And, man, I was going through a test and a trial. How many know every time, that's what part of the message of adversity is, the key of enlargement. Amen. Every test and trial that we go through. Amen. How many know there's a glory to be revealed in that thing at the end of it? If we go on through and don't give up in the midst of our adversity, why? Because our strength becomes strong instead of weakened if we don't give up. And so I was praying that stuff, and God spoke to my heart. He said, 40 days. He said, 40 days, you will walk in everything that I promised. Amen. 40 days. That's what I heard from the Lord. I said, okay, God. You talking about 40 days, or is this symbolic? You know what he's saying? And I really felt like that 40 days from that day, God said, we would possess, this is his exact words, you will possess all that I promised. Okay? And you know, the 40th day was that Friday that we were leaving out to go to Nashville to the Acquire the Fire Youth Convention. And that morning, before we left, the real estate agent called Lady Jane and says, I want to show you a house at 9 o'clock Friday morning. And she's like, okay. So she leaves. You know, they come and show the house and everything. And then I was working that morning. When I got off work, we got together and packed up, and everybody met us at our house. We went to Nashville. Hey, when we got in the hotel, you called me. She had contacted you. The lady that she showed the house to made an offer on the house. 40 days. And I'm going to say this, that Wednesday night, which was 3 days, you know, prior to that, we were worshiping here in the church, and I don't know if any guys remember that or not, but we were just really worshiping, and I felt that rise up in my spirit about possessing the promise. And God was saying, you need to speak that over this congregation, you know. Speak that over this congregation, you know. And I was sitting there thinking in my mind, I was thinking 40 days and they possessed the promise. And he said, no, in 3 days they possessed the promise. And I was like, okay. So I don't know if you guys remember that, but I said, in 3 days you're going to possess the promise. And I was just like, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, God, I'm going out on a limb again. And I didn't know 3 days later, you know, as far as us, that's what happened with that lady making an offering. And she's going to be the lady that buys our house. We signed a contract with her when we got back and everything. Amen. So during those adverse situations and when God takes us through things, amen, we begin to understand that God is doing something on our behalf. But when we participate and just by faith walk in those things, we work together with Christ and our faith, we're promoted into the heavenly position. Amen. With Him. That's what I'm trying to say today. Practical things. Just believe in God. Just believe in God. Amen. And then we had to move all our stuff into storage on the 20th, the following weekend. And I was, you know, I was fretting about that and everything. We moved our stuff. We get a call. The guy countered an offer back on the house. Amen. And now we went and looked, had an inspection done. We accepted his offer and everything. Had some conditions to it. But anyway, when we did that, I mean, the guy, boom, yeah. The real estate lady called Lady J and said, you know, they took it. And so now we're in the process of closing on April 30th on the house, you know, and around the same or that time after there in May, probably we'll be closing on the house here. Hallelujah. And we're moving to Selma. Amen. And it's like victory, victory, you know. But I was sharing those things with that person at Chuck E. Cheese's, you know, just talking about those things. And because of that experience, hear this, that I went through, that we went through, it was able to minister to somebody else because they were going through some adverse situations I didn't even know about. And they began to share with me, and I mean tears rolling down their face, you know, and I was able to share with them why. Just by communicating, working together with Christ by faith, it promoted me into my heavenly position to be able to minister to somebody else. I mean, no, you can't minister to somebody something if you ain't really been there yourself. You can talk about it a little bit, you can dabble in it a little bit, but when you've been through it yourself, amen, we talked about that in here Wednesday night about Jesus. You know, Jesus has been tempted just like you and I have. He became a man. He was the Son of God, but He was also the Son of Man. And everything you face in life, amen, it ain't nothing Jesus ain't already faced and conquered, amen, as a man, amen, as a flesh human being, amen. And I shared this with you. You know, basically what that means is Jesus said, you know what? You're going through a situation right now, and let me tell you, I've been there, done that. I got all the T-shirts. Amen? Got all the T-shirts. So when we begin to understand that these little things that we go through, we become victorious in there, man, they are moving us from being just practical to powerful. Ephesians 2, 5, and 7 says this. Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The Amplified says, even when you were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses. Anybody ever had some shortcomings? He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life with which He quickened Him, for it is by grace, His favor, and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And He raised us up, somebody say, together with Him, and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of His free grace, His unmerited favor, and His kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. You realize we are to be a demonstration of His immeasurable, limitless, surpassing of his richness and free grace and favor. That's what we go through stuff for. Why? To be a demonstration of what God can do. You know, you can be ministering to somebody. I know it's tough, and I know it's hard, but God. You can put "but God" on the end of that. God will see you through this thing. How do you know? Because I'm a demonstration of his immeasurable, limitless power. Amen. It's flowed in my life. The richness of his free grace and favor. Let me tell you something. I've experienced it. And because I've experienced it, you can't change my mind. James 5:16 says this, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The Amplified says, "Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins." Amen. Let me tell you something, ministers in the house, if you feel like you're called in ministry, this is one of the greatest scriptures you can ever learn right here in James. Amen. James 5:16. People come to leadership, they come to ministers. Why? Because they feel like they got all the answers. Amen. They got it all together. You know, and I'm going through my mess right now. Let me come to you and give you my mess, and you help me through it. Why? Because you're the preacher. You got all the answers. You're the minister. You're supposed to help me. Amen. And you are. You're called to be that. Amen. You're called to be a minister. Every one of us are called to be a minister. But understand this. When people come to you and they begin to confess their slips, their falls, their shortcomings, the Bible says in James that we are to confess those things one to another and then pray for one another. And I've learned in ministering to people to say something like this when they begin to share with me, you know, "I'm going through some stuff right now. I really need you to pray, Pastor Barry, Lady J. Y'all pray for me in this situation." And I let them, you know, share with us what we need to pray about. I always try to make it a point to come back and say, "You know what? I'm going to pray for you, but let me share some things with you. Let me be transparent." You've heard me say that word before. Let me be transparent with you. You know, I'm really dealing in this area right here, and we're trying to believe God for this, blah, blah, blah. And we begin to confess our faults one to another. You know what that does? That don't put me up here, way up here, and you way down here. That puts us on the same playing field. Amen? And I'm not using that. Ministers, hear me. Don't use that as an excuse to be slack. But understand that, you know, just because you're called to be a minister, you're called to be a leader, when it doesn't make you a cut above everybody else. Amen? But we are equal together in the things we go to. And I tell them, I say, "I'm going to pray for you, but listen, you pray for us. You know, when we get through this, pray for one another." Why? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. Oh, I love that. But your sins, pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Listen to this. Our deliberation will be the key that unlocks the dynamic. Amen. Our deliberation will be the key that unlocks the dynamic. The word deliberation, what's it mean to deliberate? Deliberation means this: deliberate quality, leisurelessness of motion or action, careful consideration, slowness or calculated. What are you saying? Our deliberation is going to be the key that unlocks the dynamic in our life. Our steps are ordered by the Father. We must be deliberate in our motion, in our action. Come on, efficient, with careful and calculated consideration. In other words, consider everything that you're walking in and you're doing and move with that. Be deliberate in those things, because your deliberation is going to be the key for you becoming dynamic in the kingdom. Amen? This is how we move from efficient to effectual. 3:16-17, Colossians 3:16-17, Amplified says, "Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness. And as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with grace in your heart." Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to the Father through him. Why? 1 Corinthians 16:9, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me. There are many adversaries." Remember what the Amplified said, "For a wide door of opportunity for effectual servants." Let me say it like this, has been open to you. Amen? They're a great and promising one. How many want the great promises of God to be opened unto you in your life? Well, understand this. There are going to be many adversaries. With greater effectual doors comes greater dimensions. Why don't you go ahead and stand? With greater effectual doors comes greater dimensions. Greater dimensions will bring greater adversity. But adversity is always going to be the key to your enlargement. I may want to be enlarged in things of God. The road may not be easy, but it's necessary. Amen. Being faithful in practical things causes us to become powerful in everything. Let me say that again. Being faithful in practical things causes us to become powerful in everything. Amen. It's the truth. Whatever we do, we must do it with faith and dependence upon the Father. We have all wisdom and revelation of His Spirit in us, and it's at our disposal. As we do basic foundational things, church, hear this. As we do basic foundational things in our walk with Christ, or our walk, let me say it like this, in our walk in Christ, we move from efficient to effectual. Amen. How many want to be effectual in the kingdom? Do efficient things. Why am I giving you this word? I'm giving you this word for this very reason right here. If you want to become powerful in the kingdom, then you're going to have to start being faithful in the few things. That God make you ruler over the many things. Amen. What are some practical things, you know, that we can do in our lives? You know, be faithful to our families. Amen. Men, be the man of God God's called you to be. Women, be the women of God God's called you to be. Amen. Men that's married in this place, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave His life for the church. Amen. Laid down His life for the church. Amen. We got to be willing to lay down, hear this, our life. You know, immediately, men, because we men, you know what we think about, Lady J, when we say that? I take a bullet for you, baby. Why? Because I'm a macho man. Christ loved the church, gave His life for it. Amen. I'm supposed to love you like Christ loved the church. He gave His life. I'll take a bullet for you. Amen. Well, you think He could be a provider? Come on, somebody. That's too practical. You think He could just, you know, do what you say? Amen. You think He could honor your word? I'm talking as a wife to a husband. Amen. You think He could, you know, be an encourager to me? Amen. Could you bless me? Could you be a blessing? Could you be an encouragement? Amen. Could you share things with me? You know all us men, we don't want to share nothing. We're all bottled up on the inside. But I'm going to tell you something. It means something to your wife when you can share with her your heart, your feelings, and your wife is, and it's going to mean something to her when she says, you know, my husband, he was sharing some things with me, and I mean, he began to cry. He just broke, and it just touched my heart. We're blessing them. We're encouraging them. Talking to the men in the house, to your wives. Share things with them. Amen. Lady J, we'll watch a movie or something. You know, men, we don't like to admit we cry about stuff and everything. We'll be watching a movie, and it'll be a real sad part or whatever. And she's sitting over here on the couch, and I'll have a tear rolling down my face or something. She'll say, are you crying? I'm like, oh, I got something in my eye. She knows better. But you know what I'm saying? Men, that's what we are. We're just like, I gotta be strong. Oh, my God. Man, I remember when it was that movie that the church, about the football players, Facing the Giants. That first come out, Michael, our son, he got the movie, and he brought it to the, he was still living at home with us, and Lady J was in the back room in the office back there working on the computer or something, maybe doing schoolwork. So, you know, we started watching the movie, you know, and, you know, it was a DVD, so it was like, you know, we can back it up or whatever when she got through what she was doing. So we're sitting in there, and he's sitting on one end of the couch, and I'm sitting on the other, and turned that movie on. And I mean, like 15 minutes in the movie, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking over at Michael like this. You know, and he's over, he's like, woo! And I looked at him, and I ain't broke yet. It was right there, man. It was like right here. And I looked at Michael, and I said, I don't think I'm going to make it through this movie. She comes looking in the living room. What's wrong with y'all? We're like, nothing. Amen. But we got to learn how to share practical things. Amen. Do the practical things that God has called you to be. Be faithful to your job. Amen. That's not where I'm called to be, Pastor Barry. I understand that. That's where you're at right now. Amen. And that's what I'm talking about, doing efficient things, you know. God's called us to speak to the nations as a church. But what do we do right now? Speak to our neighbor. Somebody at Walmart, whatever. Minister, Minister to people where you're at right now in your realm of influence, your sphere of influence. Why? Because that's your sphere of influence right now. Thank God it can grow. You can always stretch out the tent stakes. Amen. And enlarge that territory that God's giving you. But right now, you got to be faithful in the territory that He's giving you. You know, how many know the plan in the Garden of Eden was God's plan for the entire universe? Amen. But all God asked Adam to do is be faithful right there in Eden right now. Guide, guard, and govern that place, Adam. That's all I want you to do. Just remember what I told you? This is your sphere of influence right now. Garden. I mean, no, Eden wasn't the whole world. But his desire for him was to be take dominion over the whole. Remember, he said, I want you to have dominion over the earth. But right now, he needed him to be dominating and have dominion in Eden. I mean, he messed up. Amen. Everybody raise your hands. I messed up too. I ain't going to blame it all on Adam, but and I messed up too. Amen. So we got to be faithful in our sphere of influence. Amen. Become efficient in those things that God has called us to be. You receive that today? Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, become efficient. Amen. Because God has taken us from efficient to effectual. We're a powerful people. We're a powerful voice in the earth. Yes, we are. Every one of us in this room and in this building, we are a powerful force in the earth right now. We are connectors and gateways of the heavenly into the earthly. That's who we are. We just got to believe it. Well, let me pray right now. Come on up here, Lady J. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we stretch forth our hand to this congregation, Lord. God, and we stretch forth our hand to bless. God, you stretch forth your hand to bless the people on the earth, Lord God. So, Father, Lady J and I do the same thing, God. We stretch forth our hand to bless every family here, Lord God, in every dimension of their life. God, the families that are listening by the internet, Lord God, we stretch forth our hand to bless them right now in all three dimensions of their life, Lord God, spiritual, Lord God, emotional, and physical, Lord God. The blessings of Jesus to come on every house and every person, Lord, in the name of Jesus, whether it be healing, Lord God, God, whether it be spiritual life, Lord God, whether it be healing to their natural body, Lord God, God, we come against the spirit of depression, Father, that would try to hinder people, Lord, in their emotions, Lord God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, and we invoke the family name, the name Jesus, Lord God, over these people's lives, Lord God, that blessing, God, would come upon them, God, that they would be blessed in the field, Lord God. They'd be blessed out of the field, in the storehouse, God. They'd be blessed in the basket, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, all three dimensions of our life, God, we speak blessing over them.